Brethren, there are many things in life that can cause us fear. Many things in life that are downright scary. And some of those things are illness, especially with COVID-19 on the prowl. Or tragedies, not knowing what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, let alone what's going to happen years down the road. These things are scary sometimes. Also, accidents. We know that there are no accidents because the Lord is in control of everything. But humanly speaking, some kind of accident happening. Not only are there things in life that can cause us fear, but there are things around us that can cause us fear. Things that are happening and swirling about around us in our own country, right outside of our doors. And some of those things are perhaps the loss of liberty. Now, that wouldn't be the end of the world, but it would be somewhat of an inconvenience. And also, it might even hinder our ability to worship with each other, or hinder our ability to openly gather together. So these things are a little scary, things that can cause us fear that are happening around us. Also, the prospect of impending death. We're all going to face that last enemy one day. Or the riots that are happening in this country and around the world, the anarchy that we see around us, this swelling desire of peoples of the nations to have no law and no rule, or rebellion, or possible persecution. If we look around, we become somewhat like Peter on the waves of that sea. That, you know, there are scary things going on around us and that face us. There are many things in Scripture even that cause us fear and should even cause us fear. And so the title of this message is a bit paradoxical. We have much to fear, but we have nothing to fear. Why do we have much to fear? Firstly, because we have a great enemy. Do you ever read about the times that our great enemy, read about the times in the Scriptures, that our great enemy caused some great faithful saint of God to fall? We really do have a great enemy, an enemy who deceives with lies and an enemy who tempts to sin. I remember one of my former pastors from years ago, he said something that really stuck to me, that just a passing comment where he said something like he could hardly read of the time that David fell into sin with Bathsheba without him shedding tears, without him weeping over this brother in Christ who fell into sin, who was tempted by the devil and who fell into sin. You know, as we read these passages in Scripture and as we come across these things in God's Word, they do cause a sort of fear in us. If David, our brother in Christ from years past, that man who saw glimpses of truth and saw the mountain peaks of the Psalms and the views from those revelations of God, who was a man after God's own heart, who in a moment of weakness, who in a moment of temptation fell, and with him fell his reputation and brought in severe chastisements and judgments. If that happened to David, can't that happen to us? Brethren, we have much to fear because we have a great enemy prowling about. The Bible tells us that Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not just crouching in his den waiting for somebody to pass by. He's on the prowl. He's walking around looking for someone, looking for prey. And obviously, we can remember how Satan deceived Eve, and how Adam subsequently sinned against God. We have a strong enemy, the devil. We have much to fear, brethren, because we do have a great enemy. We also have much to fear, brethren, because we have the potential to sin. We have within us remaining sin. Do you remember David's heartbreaking sin again of adultery with Bathsheba? Did you ever read Psalm 51 and see those heart cries of a man who was crushed because of his sin? Do you remember Peter's denial of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember Peter's temporary apostasy? Do you remember John Mark's fearful cowardice? How he abandoned his brethren, how he abandoned the Apostle Paul? Brethren, better men than we have fallen into great and shameful and hurtful sins. We have much to fear because we have a great enemy without. And we have much to fear because we have a great enemy within, remaining sin. We also have much to fear, brethren, because we have many against us. Have you noticed that we're slightly outnumbered? Have you noticed how there aren't that many Christians out there? Have you noticed how many people hate the Lord Jesus Christ and how many people hate His people? We have many against us. Brethren, we also have much to fear because of the fiery judgments that are prepared for the inhabitants of the earth. You know, sometimes God will judge nations and some of that judgment splashes onto God's people. It's all in corrective, disciplinary, fatherly love if it touches us. But it still does and can touch us. Did COVID-19, does it stop at our front doors and does not come in because we're Christians? No. This is a whip upon the world and we feel the effects of it. The nations will not repent and they will be judged because of it. In my personal Bible reading, I've been reading through Jeremiah. That is a heart-wrenching book. You see how Jeremiah is being given glimpses of the hardness of the heart of the Israelites and how God is pronouncing judgments upon these people and how Jeremiah at some point said, Lord, oh, that my eyes would become waters for my people. He wanted to weep for them. He wanted to be broken for them because they did not weep. He wanted to weep on their behalf. Brethren, we have much to fear because of the fiery judgments that are prepared for the inhabitants of this earth. And when God judges nations, His people also suffer. Hebrews 10 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But brethren, I did not come here to discourage everyone. I did not come here to just lay these heavy thoughts upon you and go on my merry way. Because again, the sermon title is paradoxical. We do have much to fear. But at the same time, we have nothing to fear. Why do we have nothing to fear? Though we do have a great enemy, the devil, who is a lion, who is prowling about, who does tempt us to sin, we have an even greater Savior who defeated death and Satan. Remember Genesis 3:15, that first gospel preached, how the Lord Jesus is prophesied of, that He shall bruise the head of the serpent. And He has, and He is continuing to do so, and He will do so. Though we have a great enemy, we have an even greater Savior. Though Satan is bigger and more powerful than we, though Satan has power to tempt and to deceive, though he is a lion prowling about looking for people to devour, the Lord Jesus Christ is greater. The Lord Jesus Christ is bigger. The Lord Jesus Christ is stronger. The Lord will kill him with His word. The Lord Jesus has dealt the death blow and broken that lion's teeth in His mouth. So though we have a great enemy, and though we do fear, we have nothing to fear because we have a greater Savior who has defeated death and Satan. And brethren, though we do, secondly, have the potential to fall into sin. We have an even greater Savior than our potential to sin. An even greater Savior who can give us the grace and who does give us the grace and who will give us the grace we need not to sin. But brethren, we do sin. Let's be realistic. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember hearing a sermon once by Pastor Martin where he said that the page on his Bible where 1 John 1:9 is written was worn out. And brethren, it's worn out for all of us. Maybe not physically, but we've read this verse many times perhaps. So if you have fallen, remember that a just man falls 7 times but rises up again. And though we do have the potential to sin, we have an even greater Savior who can give us the grace we need not to sin. And when we do sin, He gives us forgiveness and He gives us grace to go on, as the Shorter Catechism says, in new obedience. 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, brethren, yes, though we have the potential to sin, and though that is scary, and it is scary, we have an even greater Savior who can give us the grace we need not to sin and who provides us the forgiveness we need when we do sin. Thirdly, though there are many against us, and there are many against us, there are wicked men who hate us, there are wicked men who tempt us, there are even wicked men who salivate at the prospect of us falling. Have you ever worked with someone like that who knows you're a Christian and they keep poking you and prodding you and trying to test you to see where you're going to crack? Those are the men and the women who salivate at the prospect of us falling. But though, brethren, we are afraid of our own falling and failing feet, and though there are many against us, our great Savior is with us. Remember the words that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Though there are many against us, our great Savior is with us. And brethren, though, fourthly, God's fearsome judgments are soon to fall upon the inhabitants of the earth, we are safe and we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. Remember the confidence of Paul that he had, that we see in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Remember those words. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Our Savior who washed away our sins. Remember that though we do have this fearsome prospect of the judgments of God falling on us, we are safe and we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. So we really have nothing to fear. Like the Psalm says, though the mountains quake, we will not fear. And so, brethren, if the judgments of God start to fall upon this earth, we can look at them with a smile on our face. Not because we're twisted or, sadly mistaken, but because we do have a confidence. Even if God slay us, like I believe Job said, yet will I praise him. And brethren, though we are afraid of those judgments, we can remember that the Lord Jesus Christ absorbed the wrath of God on our behalf. We might taste of temporal judgments and the splash might hit us, the spray of God's ocean of wrath. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ took all of the wrath that we deserved and we are safe. We have run, just like the proverb says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. We have run into the Lord Jesus Christ. And though mountains are quaking and waves are crashing down, we are safe in this strong tower, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who washed away all of our sins in his own blood. As Revelation 1, 4 through 5 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Though God's judgments may fall, we have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior who rose from the dead, we can look at the judgments of God coming down upon this earth and have a restful confidence knowing that our Savior has died, has risen from the dead. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. Romans 6, 8 through 9. Our Savior, who is now sitting on the throne, ruling and reigning over all people and things everywhere, and every creature, Revelations 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Brethren, we have much to fear, but at the same time, we have absolutely nothing to fear. You know, I see this sometimes in Christians that I know. They spend the day delving into the news and they see this bad and that's coming on the horizon and this and that. And they're almost shaking when they come talk to you and say, did you see what's going to happen? OK, well, why are you filling up your mind with all of these things? There's much to fear. If you want to get scared, go open up your news app and read away, and you'll have your dose of fear for the day. There's much to fear, wrongly fear, and there's much to rightly fear. But there's also nothing to fear for the child of God, because God's people are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get afraid, turn your eyes away from the waves like Peter and turn it back to the Lord, saying, Lord, save me from this fear. And he'll reach down and save you from that fear. We have nothing to fear because Jesus came. We have nothing to fear because Jesus lived for us on our behalf, a perfect life, and wrought for us a perfect, spotless righteousness. We have nothing to fear because Jesus suffered underneath the heavy wrath of God that we deserved. We have nothing to fear because Jesus bled and his blood washes away our sins. We have nothing to fear because Jesus died. We have nothing to fear because Jesus rose from the dead. We have nothing to fear because Jesus reigns. He rules. He is on the throne. Nothing happens without his command. And we have nothing to fear because Jesus will return. Do you believe that, brethren? When you get afraid, we literally can smile at everything that comes at us because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He will rescue us. He will come for us. You know, when you need to call the police because of some emergency, there is some level of measure of hope that you feel. Help is on the way. But there's also some level of uncertainty because you don't know if the police are going to get there in time and you don't know if they'll be able to help you. Well, with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that there is no uncertainty. There is absolute hope that he is coming. He will deal with his enemies. He will save and rescue his people. And there is 0% chance that he will fail. And so again, brethren, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but I do not know everyone that is in here, and I don't know how far this message will go. And so for me to say, I don't want to be accused of the prophets of Jeremiah's time that healed the people's hurt slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. There might be someone in here who, or someone listening in, who might hear this message and get a false comfort. Oh, there's much to fear. There's nothing to fear. Well, yeah, there's much to fear and nothing to fear if you're a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, if you're outside of Christ, if you're a stranger to grace, then you actually have everything to fear. Everything to fear if you're outside of Christ. And so you must run to Christ, because outside of Christ, you're in danger and you have everything to fear. Inside of Christ, you have nothing to fear and you are safe. Brethren, also, as we come to the Lord's table today, maybe there's some fear in your heart, fear of the future, fear of some kind of COVID variant on the horizon, fear of loss of liberty, fear of this, fear of that. The Lord has given us a means of grace by which to visually be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come to the table, we're not worshiping the elements, but we are taking instruction from those elements. And we are learning and we are being reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you see that bread that was torn off, remember that your Lord was torn for you. And when you partake in that fruit of the vine, remember of the blood of the Lord that was spilled for you. And though you have all these fears, may the Lord help us at the table to remember that we truly, if we are God's people, we have nothing to fear. Let's pray, brethren. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for your day where weary pilgrims can come and be refreshed. We thank you, Father, for this market day of the soul. And we thank you, Father, for our brethren from whom we may learn, from whom we may derive comfort. But thank you especially, Father, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would please teach us this, that there are many things to fear, and that we ought to walk circumspectly and not walk pridefully or overconfidently. But help us to be careful with where we step and how we step and when we step. But Father, also teach us not to fear. Teach us that we truly have nothing to fear because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ by your grace. You are our Savior. You are our refuge. You are our high tower and our defense. And so, Father, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Father, forgive us for our fear. Forgive us for looking to the waves instead of looking to you. Forgive us for despairing. And please give us the grace we so need to smile at all our foes, to smile at all of the things around us that may cause us fear, knowing of a certainty that you are our Savior, you are our Good Shepherd, you are our prophet and priest and king, and we are safe in your arms. We pray that you would be with us this day and help us as we come to the table to remember the Lord, to remember what he did for us, and to remember, Father, to confess our sins before you and to pray and ask for forgiveness and to seek grace for new obedience. We ask all these mercies in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.